You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.
My failure. My failure.
My divorce.
I felt totally bamboozled.
And I thought, this has to end. I can't do this anymore.
And now a story from Failure Lab from Detroiter Stephanie Christiane. It's about the early stages of her career and the challenges of being a Black female rocker.
So this very famous and successful music publisher from New York came to see me in a little house on the east side of Detroit. And he loved my voice. He loved my songwriting. I was only 15. He thought I was great. But he was more intrigued by the fact that I sang rock and roll. And everything happened very quickly after that. He flew back to New York, and within a week or two, I was being flown to New York to write with some of the most sought-after music producers and songwriters. I was doing what I loved, and I don't want to say names, but like to myself at 15, being flown out to New York and staying in a fancy hotel, I was the ish. I'm not gonna cuss. Everybody always had talked about how my voice was so deep and like, why do you sing rock and roll? Like, you're Black. And I felt a lot of stigma towards me. But once I had talked with that guy and he started flying me out to New York and people were taking me seriously, it completely changed my life. So I was spending every high school break in New York. And it was on one of these meetings with the producer that I like met the one. I didn't want to work with anybody else. We wrote great songs. We made even better music. And everything just clicked. I knew that I didn't need to work with anybody else. So here is another person who is very successful that I'm meeting at such a young age, who took me seriously, who liked that I sang rock and roll. And it wasn't a gimmick, because I'm going to tell you, I can sing. So fast forward about 3 years. I'm going to New York every break, winter break, summer break. And then I make the grand decision after graduating high school valedictorian. After attending Wayne State University for a year and earning all A's, that I am going to drop out of school and move to New York. Because that is what's hot. That's grandma. That's what I need to do. My producer convinced me to do it a little bit, more than a little bit. And of course, you know that when your parents tell you not to do something, fuel to the fire. So this just goes to show you how much my grandmother loved me. My grandmother did not want me to move to New York, at least finish school first. That was the furthest. When I went to school in the first place, I knew I didn't want to. When I graduated from high school, my grandmother bought me probably a 1988. It was at least 10 years old when I got it. She paid $800 for it, and it was my graduation present. And when my grandmother got tired of fighting with me about moving to New York, she bought it back from me for $800. So now, I'm 18. I signed to this publishing label as a writer because I'm the shit. I have this money. I call my friend who lives in Brooklyn. I'm like, yo, can I sleep on your floor? I'll pay you $100 a week. Really, that's not what's hot, is sleeping on people's floors. It's not. But I felt like, especially in regards to New York, that if I didn't suffer, whatever I earned, I wouldn't have deserved. And maybe that's my mindset or the way I grew up, which I can't get into because we'll be here all night. So I moved to New York. I have this $800, sleeping on somebody's floor. Of course, I had to work when I got there. I started temping. Was trekking from Brooklyn to Manhattan in these heels. I wasn't smart enough to realize when I saw all those ladies on the subway with gym shoes and suits on that that's what I should be doing. Nah, I wasn't that smart. Even after working a 40-hour work week, I barely made enough money to eat and sleep on somebody's floor. Somehow, and it was probably on my own, that I started to go to bars and people just let me drink. And that was okay, I was 18. That's almost legal. I met a bartender who told me, you know, you should take a bartending class. We make a lot of money, and I could see it. So I took a bartending class, started making fairly decent money, and I was able to get a place on my own. Had a really nice studio apartment. And I can't explain to you how those are some of the loneliest nights of my life. So I'm in New York. I'm not doing so much writing and recording anymore, and I don't really understand why. So first off, I'm going to tell you that the publisher who signed me and who was one of my biggest supporters quit. He tried to take me to the label that he worked at. He took a VP position at a label who catered to rap artists. They were not feeling this little black girl from Detroit who sang rock and roll. I remember marching into my publishing label after he left, and I never felt more like a redheaded stepchild, no offense to redheaded stepchildren. And I asked his replacement, I said, hey, yo, I just thought that it was going to be like a fluid continuation. She would take his place and care for me as much as he did. And I said, what's the plan for me now? And she very coldly looked at me and said, Stephanie, I don't know what to do with you as an artist. So you saying that because I'm black, I can't sing a certain type of music? This is your job, lady. This is what you're supposed to do. I didn't hear any part of the conversation after that. And that was that. I was done with that label. They dropped me. And all the while this is happening, fast forward of maybe a year or two, I don't know. I haven't seen my producer that much. He's been working with an already established artist who has a major record deal. I walked into his house, and I've known this guy for years. And he's been working with this artist, I don't know, maybe say a month or two. And it's a big picture of him and them on the wall. I've slept at your house. We've known each other for I don't know how long. And you don't have one picture of us together. And I knew that something was happening. I felt a shift in our relationship. Besides the fact that he just wasn't working with me. And he would tell me to hold on, and I would. There are other things that were occurring. But because of the sake of other people's privacy and even my dignity a little bit, I can't speak on it. But I just tell you that I've never felt so betrayed. I've never felt so alone. I've never felt so unimportant. And I've never felt so already forgotten. My whole plan was to take over the world, and I was just watching it slip like sand through my fingers. I did get to record with my producer again one time. I recorded a whole grand demo, but it hurt me to sing. Physically hurt me. Whatever we had before was gone. I decided that the damage had been done. I was going to cut my losses and move back to Detroit. Now, what I'm saying to myself right now is, I can't believe that I dropped out of school and moved all the way to New York to become a bartender. I was really good at it. And when I say bartender, I mean bartender, like Coyote Ugly bartender, like dancing on the bar and splashing people with water. I worked at one of the rowdiest spots in Manhattan. We were encouraged to drink with the customers. I swore like a sailor, and I screamed all night. One day, I opened my mouth to sing, and I couldn't. I had physically hurt myself. Came back home to Detroit. I went to go see an ENT, my ear, nose, and throat doctor. He said, oh, ma'am, you have nodules on your vocal cords. So you mean to tell me I did all of this to be the best singer in the world, and I'm a bartender? And not only am I just a bartender, I have nodules on my vocal cords and I can't sing. He told me that surgery was the only way to remove them, and there was no guarantee that I would sing like I did before or if I would be able to sing at all. When I got back to Detroit, there was such a relief that I felt. I'm the oldest of seven. I got to be back home with my grandmother and my siblings, but I felt so ashamed. I wouldn't take any phone calls from anybody. I had friends that were graduating from college. I had friends that worked on Capitol Hill. And I didn't even have a demo or anything to show for the 3 years I spent in New York. People say that, you know, experiences like this make you stronger. And God can't put on you more than you can bear. I say bullshit. I didn't do what I knew I could do. I hurt myself while doing it. Trying to do it, I guess, is a better term. And I've never, ever, ever felt so abandoned. Thank you.
Stephanie Christian telling her story to a Grand Rapids audience. You can find out more about upcoming Failure Lab events and hear more stories at failure-lab.com.